Now for our responsive reading this morning, if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and the 21st to the 31st verses. First chapter, verse 21 through the end of the chapter. And here it describes how people find Christ as their Savior. It seems like foolishness to the world and always will. This should not shock you when they look at you that way. It should not shock you when they reproach you and say it's in the dark ages or have all kind of statements. God knew that. It isn't anything new. It's just as old as the gospel itself. So you see here what the Lord has to say to our hearts through his apostle Paul. For after that, in the wisdom of God, notice it's God's wisdom, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
For the Jews require wisdom, and the Greeks seek after wisdom.
But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness.
But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are old.
I always remember when I read this that it was the first of our Queen Elizabeth's way back, that when anybody spoke to her and she would talk about her faith in Christ, she would always say, "I am so glad that the scripture said not many instead of not any." For she was queen. She said, "I'm so thankful it said not many. For I'm one of those who are redeemed, you see, in the blood of Christ." So praise God that he's made it that way. There are wise men after the flesh. There are mighty men after the flesh. There are noble men after the flesh who are called. Not many. But there are some, praise the Lord. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are.
Can't think. You know, that last little portion, things that are not, to bring to naught things that are. I can't help but think nuclear fission, you know, it's something you can't see. But it really brings to naught things that are. And then, of course, I can't help but remember, too, where it says, not many base things of the world. He's chosen the foolish things, he says in verse 27. Of the world to confound the things which are mighty. It always reminds me of Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody, of course, was probably one of the greatest preachers. He touched more hearts than Billy Graham. This seems an amazing thing, doesn't it, in an age like we're living in. They claimed his converts were near 1.5 million. This man who toured the world and preached the gospel and had no radio, none of these things that we have, no television, you see. But he swept nations, you see, swept nations into the kingdom. But I always remember what he said that struck me very deeply when he was in Chicago and they'd had a big crusade. Of course, he was a man who had a sixth grade education, was a shoemaker, by trade. He did some shoemaking, did other things too, but he had several trades. And that when he was in Chicago, he had very unorthodox methods of gathering crowds. He'd get a big band and walk down the streets through Chicago, LaSalle Street and all those areas, and play the band and big banners and invite them in, you know. And, of course, all the high preachers of Chicago, the dignified men, you know, finally, because of their people going, they felt they should go. And after one of his meetings, one of them came to him and said, "Brother Moody," he said, "I wanted to tell you this morning, that at your message this evening," he said, "you made at least 6 violent errors in English." Said Mr. Moody bowed his head for a moment. Then he looked him straight in the eye. And he said, "You know, all that I know of English, I am using for Christ. What are you doing with yours?" Isn't that wonderful? Hmm? What are you doing with yours? 29th verse. "That no flesh should glory in his presence." Notice all he's made to us, our wisdom. If you know Christ, you know more than anyone else in the universe. The greatest scientist doesn't know what you know. He doesn't have eternal life because he's a scientist. You're going to know more than any scientist on earth when God takes you for a celestial tour to see the universe. You're going to see things they're trying to look at with telescopes. Tremendous. He's made us, he's given us wisdom. Christ has made wisdom to you. It's the Christ in you that gives you wisdom. You have a panoramic view of all mankind in the universe of history. You have the panoramic view of history from its beginnings to its endings, which no one understands except there are Christians. He's made wisdom. He's made your righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? He's made your sanctification. He's made your redemption. He's been made everything for you. "That according as it is written, he that glorieth," where shall we glory? "Let him glory in the Lord." May God add his blessing to this precious portion of his holy word.